You may know Thea Dilley as a local actress and comedian. Perhaps tomorrow, if you already bought your tickets, you will even see her perform in this year's fashion show. But before reconnecting with her childhood love of theater, Thea worked as an editor and writer for various nonprofits, including the University of Denver and Hospice of San Luis Obispo County. She and her partner, Mike Maxwell, have co-owned several marketing businesses, where Thea writes web, brochure, and newsletter copy. She's also published more than 60 articles in national and regional publications. Sure, all this helps to pay the bills. But like many of you out there, Thea also has a half-written novel moldering in her closet. Perhaps tonight will inspire her to dig it out and finish it. Or not.
Well, thank you, Laura Lee. And thanks to all of you for supporting your local artists here and throughout the weekend. I'm writing a theatrical show based on my experiences of growing up in a very conservative, very religious household. Now, even as a young child, I saw radical contradictions in my parents' belief system. But critical thinking was discouraged, even punished. I spent many years very angry. But as the humanist chaplain Greg Epstein says, sometimes the most forceful way to respond to our conservative religious critics is with humor. So tonight, I'd like to read an excerpt from my show in progress entitled One Nation Divided Over God. This particular section is called Jesus Loves Me But Hates You. The first time my mother met my partner Mike, she cornered him in the kitchen. Then she leaned in close. So Mike politely backed away. Mom stepped in even closer, forcing Mike to back up until he bumped into the kitchen counter. He was trapped. As a child, Mom said, just inches from his face, Thea was such an asset to the church. Seeing Mike's dilemma, my sister ran through the house looking for me. Trish burst into the bathroom where I sat on the toilet. She breathlessly choked out, Mom's got Mike in kitchen, hurry! I wiped prematurely and ran through the house as fast as I could. I got to the kitchen just in time to hear Mom saying sadly, but then she went off to college and stopped going to church. We never should have let her go to school. The truth is, my faith began to waver long before stepping on a college campus. I started questioning my parents' religion shortly after my baptism at age 10. On that fateful morning, my pretty Sunday school teacher began her lesson. Children, she said sweetly, holding up a page torn from a magazine, look at this logo. What do you see that should worry us? No one said anything. Count the stars around the moon's face, she hinted. 13 stars, I blurted. That's right, she said. And what does the number 13 stand for, children? Satan, we chorused. Yes, that's right. So, do any of you know what company uses this logo? Silently, we shrugged our shoulders. Procter & Gamble, She said the words slowly as if they tasted bitter. They make Crest toothpaste. Gasping, we covered our mouths, one little boy rubbing his teeth frantically and spitting. If you use Crest toothpaste, the teacher continued ominously, you will be worshiping Satan. But Crest was my favorite toothpaste. I was crestfallen. That wasn't the first time, though, that our church's proclamations confused me. At age 14, I had found my calling. I wanted to be a minister. Word got around, and one day our church pastor made an unexpected house call. I hear you want to be a pastor, he said. I nodded enthusiastically. You know the Bible says that only men can be ministers, right? But, he added brightly, you can always marry one. For years I thought God didn't want me because of my genitalia. Which really confused me, because God created genitalia. Not only that, it's pretty obvious that God did not know what he was doing when he designed his first set for Adam. External placement is a flawed design. To prove my point, I need a male volunteer from the audience. Anyone? Obviously, God didn't get it right until his second try, which was Eve and subsequently all women thereafter. But my friends, the Bible is definitely open to interpretation. Take the time several years ago when my mom and I sat in her mauve kitchen. Surrounded by decorative crosses of various sizes and materials, Mom told me, if we can't get rid of the new pastor, your dad and I are leaving the church. What could have possibly happened to make them want to leave? The new pastor is liberal, my mom spat, and your father and I are sick and tired of him using the pulpit to preach his leftist politics. Shocked, I asked what kind of politics. This guy wants our church to collect food for the poor, if you can imagine. She shook her head and went on. What's even worse, he expects us to raise money to buy new shoes for those illegal Mexican kids. But Mom, I said, didn't Jesus teach us to love one another and care for the poor? We don't want to go to church to hear these liberal lies, she said. We want to learn how to walk closer to the Lord. Bewildered, I focused on one of the crosses. It was made out of dried palm leaves, and it was brittle with age. I remembered it from the Palm Sundays of my youth, which then reminded me of that song we used to sing. Jesus loves me, this I know. But after years of observing the people in my life, like my mother, my pastor, and my Sunday school teacher, I get the impression they believe Jesus is a lot more selective. It seems to me that they think, Jesus loves me but hates you. If you're Mexican or a Jew, yes, Jesus loves me if I have money. Yes, Jesus loves me, James Dobson tells me so. Jesus loves you if you're male, white, and straight. You will preach.